This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. We are talking about retirement and at what age do you intend to retire? I'd like to say I intend to retire at the age of 50. I'm not going to retire at the age of 50, but I'd like to say that. We're asking you for some feedback. 018 789 8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to contribute via text message. You can get us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. We've got a tweet that I know Audrey wants to highlight.
This is from Michael Chiang, who says, I'm a writer by trade. I don't think I'll ever be able to not write even after retiring. Probably just move on to writing different things.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over to WhatsApp. Do we have any new ones, Frida?
Yes, we do. We have from 8108. 60 is my target. Many of my friends forced to stop when their contract was not renewed. Always prepare yourself when you hit 40s. And that's very true, right? Your contract doesn't get renewed, you get fired or whatever, and it's so difficult to find work at that age. So, you know, start looking at...
That's why Audrey's not thought about it.
Because yeah. She hasn't
gone over that hill, as they say.
I see a comment on Twitter from Arvind Yuvaraj, who purposely spelt my name wrongly.
He spelt all of our names wrongly.
Yes.
On purpose. Whilst he's at home retiring, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to our final story about this tech CEO who gave up his smartphone for a year. What happened there then?
He wasn't very successful. Let's just start out with that. But he said that it did make him a better leader. So this is an article written by Ben Crudo himself. Ben Crudo, of course, is the CEO of Diff, which is a full-service agency that designs and builds e-commerce solutions for major retailers. And a year ago, he decided to make a huge permanent change. He swapped out his smartphone for a dumb phone or a feature phone, like we would call it. And he acknowledges that as the CEO of a growing tech company, this was a risky move, but he thought that it would ultimately help him in the long run. So he went on his honeymoon somewhere in New Zealand where there was like no access, and he realized just how addicted he was to his smartphone. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, he thought to himself, you know I am the CEO of a growing tech company, but this is something I need to do because I think it's good for me. You know, he feels like he had a tech addiction. So he said that there were some blips in the road, like he got lost without his GPS and he was always worried about missing important emails or meetings. But he learned to adapt and was confident that he'd seen the last of his smartphone. This was in the early days. Of course, that was not true. Over the year, he encountered some real hurdles, mostly technological. It kept him from going completely smartphone free. He said that it turns out that, you know, he swapped out for a dumb phone, right? And he said that dumb phones are just way too dumb. he said that he used to carry around a notebook and a pen. He got a GPS for his bike and he bought a book to use on the subway to occupy his time. But there were still things that he needed a phone to do, like make calls, send texts and offer Wi-Fi hotspot capability for when he needs to hook up to his laptop, right? And by far, that was his biggest challenge because these dumb phones, he said that the calls would drop, he couldn't upload all his contacts onto the phone, it had insufficient battery life, and so he needed a smartphone. So what he did was he had a bit of a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he tried to get a bit of a balance by only using his smartphone during work hours, and he would be more mindful of how he used it as well. So he said, without all the bells and whistles of a fully loaded smartphone, he was able to be extremely intentional with his time. Instead of answering emails and Slack messages when they came in, he designated times throughout the day when he would check his email, and people learned how to get in touch with him. If not to check his messages, right? They would call him if there was something urgent and email if it could wait. And that left him with uninterrupted blocks of time to focus on the big picture, how his company was evolving and how to communicate that to his clients and his team. He said that dumbing down his smartphone let him engage. Oh, sorry. Let me come back to that. So he basically dumbed down his smartphone so that he would only receive alerts at a certain time. He removed all unnecessary notifications. He removed the browser and all kinds of social media on his phone as well. So that's what he did. And he said that dumbing down his smartphone let him engage more fully in meetings and have conversations with people face to face. It gave him a better read on his team, which was particularly important given how quickly the company was growing. He also noted, though, that while it's cool to see other people being more conscious of their phone use, he's not out to inspire people to do the same, because he's, if anything he's learned throughout the year, it's that forming a healthier relationship with technology is a highly personal thing. So this is something that may have worked for him, but it's not necessarily going to work for everyone.
Right.
He said the key is to find a balance through trial and error. Even though he's gone back to his smartphone, he feels like he's still achieved a lot of goals that he set 1 year ago. He's less susceptible to distractions from technology, and he sees his smartphone as a tool and not as a toy. So he's not always reaching out for his smartphone when he's caught in a line or when he like there's nothing to do and you want to fiddle with something. I find that's what I do too.
Right?
You know, like if I'm just waiting in the car, sometimes my husband's just pumping fuel, and I know I'm not supposed to use my smartphone in a petrol station, right? But I still find myself reaching for that phone. Just it's just like it's become a force of habit.
Mm. Right.
So what he does is he puts his smartphone all the way at the bottom of his backpack, so it's like difficult to reach. So that kind of helped him snap out of that habit of reaching for his smartphone whenever he needed it.
Mm. I have found a way of kind of meeting the addiction to tech halfway using my smartphone. So what I've started to do is when I, like when you're bored, Ords, when I find that urge to pick my phone up for no reason and just scroll through mindlessly, I've started putting it on airplane mode and playing Sudoku on my phone. Mm. And so I'm getting that kind of tactile thing from the phone and that interaction with tech, but I'm also like not being distracted by notifications coming in, but I'm still like for me that seems to be working and breaking that, not breaking it, but you know, I'm kind of halfway there, so I'm trying to wean myself off a little bit.
You know, like how he just used checks on it during office hours is also a good strategy. But yeah, it's difficult.
It's difficult, yes.
And we know that the younger generation are just getting completely, like, they're just so, they've had enough of this whole always on culture that we live in today, right, with our handphones, you know, taking work home and things like that. So they're all reaching for the dumb phone now. That's the trend that we hear that's happening in the US. But we know these dumb phones are just not working when it comes, you need your GPS, you need people still need to get in touch with you, you know, after working hours, for whatever reasons, and we're all doing it via instant messaging today. So I guess here I find that maybe the answer is just managing what you have on your smartphone, like what Ben has done here. You know, like I told you this morning, Frida, I'm going to now look at my emails and have it be on a pull order instead of a push order. So it's not just going to, you know, send me a flux of email as and when it likes, but I'm going to set it so that I only receive it at 2 p.m., like after our show is done and after I've had time to have lunch. Because sometimes we come out of the show, we don't even get to have lunch, and we're already, you know, attending to emails and messages and things like that. Yeah. So that's the first thing I think I'm going to do, because I'm worried about tech addiction as well. I find sometimes I'm in the car, and my husband says, can you Waze a better way out of this traffic situation? I pick up the phone to Waze, right? And the first thing I do is check Instagram.
Yep.
And then he'll be like, what are you doing? You're supposed to do one thing, you know? And I have to, I think I need to do something to kind of like get in control of the situation. So this is maybe for starts.
You needed to find out what Jennifer Aniston was up to.
I have a similar problem, right? So I'll be discussing with somebody. So, you know, what I feel is quite important, and they're sat there like, what are you doing? I'm working. Instagram. That is not work.
No, for influencers, Instagram is work.
Well, yes, I suppose. On that note, I should wrap up. Right, ladies and gents, thank you very much for all of your contributions discussing at what age do you intend to retire. Mixed bag, we had people who said 25, I think, was the youngest, 20, 25, all the way through up until 99. And then, of course, the Japanese doctor who went on and beat you by 1 year and still worked up until he was the age of 100. Thank you very much for all of those. We are going to wrap up, though, ladies and gents. Of course, we started off with that question, at what age do you intend to retire? We then moved on to...
Oh, talking about children who just sponge off you. That's my headline. Sorry.
And finally, that story about the tech CEO who tried to give up his smartphone for a year. He wasn't successful, but it did make him a better leader, in his opinion.
He tried, bless him. Don't go anywhere, though. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The insurance industry has seen many changes in the last few years with Asia, the fastest growing market, while digital disruptions have been a challenge with new players changing the competitive landscape. The Breakfast Grill spoke with one of the oldest and largest life insurance companies in the world, Sun Life Financial, to discuss the industry landscape, the importance of data in the business, and Sun Life's global plans moving forward and how Malaysia fits into it. That's with Dean Connor, President and CEO of Sun Life Financial. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And of course, Christine Wong. Say goodbye, Christine.
Bye.
We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place at noon here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.